It's great to have you here today. And yesterday, I boldly proclaimed and repeatedly said that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. We've been reading together the gospel according to John chapter 1, and this is how John starts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Now, who is the Word in these verses? The Word is Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. If you were not able to listen yesterday, I strongly encourage you to download the podcast and listen soon. To do that, just go to 590amtheword.com and hit the podcast tab. 590amtheword.com. The God Is podcast link is located in the bottom left-hand corner. Click it and listen. Today, I want to take us down into verse 18 in John 1. Listen as I read this to you. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. I'll give that to you again. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Now, is that sounding a bit too technical for the middle of the afternoon or whenever you may be listening? The first and third parts of the sentence sound easy, but that middle part about only begotten and a bosom, these aren't exactly phrases you used anywhere else today. Begotten and bosom don't just come up in normal everyday conversation, do they? Well, I'll explain these to you. But first, I just want to say that when I read John 1 repeatedly, as you have done if you took my challenge from 1 week ago, the John 1 reading challenge, this verse popped off the page and hit me square in the brain. I immediately underlined it and used my ruler to carefully construct a box around it in my Bible. I am not sure what impacted you as you read. I personally read John 1 30 times in 30 days. And at the end of day 30, I took out my journal and quickly jotted down all the words that impacted me. These are just the words. My journal is full of other phrases, attitudes, actions, and truth that I saw as I read. I'll read the words from my journal now. Word, light, glory, grace and truth, explained, found, come and see, came and saw. Those just kept appearing all over the place in my reading of John 1. But it was this verse, verse 18, which struck me as being very important. And then when I read on from there into the remainder of John's gospel, it becomes even more apparent that John 1:18 really does deserve to be highlighted. What is the Apostle John saying to us here? Let's break it down into four parts, shall we? The first part says, no one has seen God at any time. This is true, correct? I have certainly never seen God. I've never used my own eyes to see him coming towards me or standing in front of me. No one has. If you have heard of a person seeing God, then the person is either mentally not stable or is a liar or both. The Bible repeatedly affirms that no person can see God and live. Listen to God himself declare this in the Old Testament book of Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20. But God said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. That's Exodus 33:20. God is spirit, so he is invisible to us. John 4:24 says, God is spirit. And in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, Paul declares, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice the emphasis on invisible. We cannot see God. In John chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus himself tells us this, not that anyone has seen the Father, meaning no one has seen God. Do not ever believe anyone who tells you they have physically seen God. And I include in this a claim that a person has had a vision in which they see God or has somehow been transported to see God, like seeing a great light who is God, while being revived in the ER after a car accident. I have heard those stories, and I do not accept those persons to have actually seen God. And I say that even to those quote-unquote Christians who might claim this. They cannot be believed because if they have seen God, then they would be dead, permanently dead. God said, "No one can see me and live." By the way, this is a reason often given for why people do not believe in God. They say, if God exists, then why doesn't God prove his existence by revealing himself to me? Just show up, like burst through the clouds and show himself and say, "Here I am. Now believe me." Well, I get the point, but I have three responses to this. First, one day Jesus is going to burst through the clouds, but that will be to judge you and me for whether or not we have already believed in him. We will have to have already believed in him in order to be accepted by him. Second, are you then prepared to drop dead? Because if God comes through those clouds in such a way as you actually lay eyes on him, then boom, you're dead. You'll just drop down dead. Are you prepared for that? And third, if you feel this way, then stick with me for the next couple of days at least. I have some very good and wonderful news for you. So let's wrap up our observations of part 1 of verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. This is a fact. God is mysterious. It is impossible for the human mind, as smart as we think we are, to comprehend the living God. And one of the reasons this is so impossible for us is that God is God and we are not. We cannot see him. We have no pictures of him on our phones. We have no accurate images of God hanging in our apartments. He's invisible to us, all of us. This is my first observation of John 1:18. And now we move into the second part of the verse. John writes, "the only begotten God." All right, there's that word, begotten. I'm sure many of you listening know what this word means. I will never intend to insult anyone's intelligence. Listeners to this broadcast are not stupid. However, there may be someone listening who doesn't quite get the meaning of begotten, so let me explain. Begotten is the English translation of a Greek word that means unique, the one and only, and one of a kind. The Greek word is monogenēs, and it means unique, the one and only, and one of a kind. That certainly describes Jesus Christ. By the way, monogenēs, begotten, is also used in the famous John 3:16 passage. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." John uses that again because he wants to emphasize the uniqueness of Jesus. We must believe in Jesus if we want to experience eternal life, life without end, life after death. So back to John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God. Now that we know what begotten means, notice that John says, the only begotten God. Why does he name God here? Wouldn't it make more sense to write, the only begotten Jesus? It does, but only if you do not understand what I explained yesterday. Jesus is God. So for John, God and Jesus are used interchangeably here. Jesus is God. Do you see why I spent so much time on this? Who is the only begotten God? This is Jesus Christ. And by begotten, he means that Jesus is unique, the one and only, the one of a kind. There is no other Jesus. Jesus is Jesus, period. And now on to part 3 of verse 18. This is John 1:18, and John says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father." What? Now just a little more patience. What does bosom mean? As the Greek word for bosom intends, this means the front of the body between the arms. But it can also mean the fold or the pocket that's formed by, say, folding a garment in a certain way. Here's the analogy I like to use for bosom. In our church, we have lots of moms and dads who are parenting babies that are growing up quickly. So after the service, I watch as one of the parents will slip their arms through a couple of loops on what is called a baby Bjorn. This allows, say, the one-year-old to sit safely and securely inside the fold or pocket on the front of the parent. Some parents put their children facing out so the child can interact with others and so adult people can come running over and goo-goo and gaga. What must the baby think when we do that? But if in my analogy you imagine the child facing into the parent's heart, right up against mom or dad's chest, that area is the bosom of the parent. And that child will sit in there and feel love, warmth, safety, security, and peace. He or she knows they're in a safe place. The baby often falls asleep attached to the bosom of mom or dad. I think that's the way it is with Jesus. Jesus is the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. Jesus is the heart of God. Jesus lives his earthly life in God. He's never detached from God. Think about that analogy. On Facebook and Twitter, I posted a picture of a baby Bjorn, if that helps you. God is, W-E-Z-E, on Facebook and Twitter. God is, W-E-Z-E, check it out. And you thought I was actually clarifying this verse, right? Friends, I am. But I need to stop here for today, so come back tomorrow and I will put this puzzle together as Jesus himself gives me the wisdom to do so. I do not know how to do this on my own, so please pray for me. I'll depend on God to help me tomorrow, and I very much look forward to having you right back here, for God is.